Thank you for connecting to the media product of Pastor Brian Gallardo. We pray as it goes out into the nations that it empowers your faith, stirs your spirit, and pushes you towards your God-given destiny. For more information about Pastor Brian Gallardo, please log on to www.briangallardo.com.
We honor all of our moms, our new moms, our not-so-new moms, our working moms, our stay-at-home moms, our single moms, and all moms in between. What? Moms that are unable to have, yep, that was on my list. But thank you, Pastor, because you're always making me look better. Thank you. So we thank you. We celebrate you today because you guys are amazing. Amazing. And anybody who is a mom knows the pressure that comes with being a mom. So let's give it up for them one more time. I feel like we should just continue to clap for moms. Amen. So here's a fun little fact. You know you're a mother when your feet stick to the floor and you don't care. Amen. Or you do care and you can't do anything about it. You know you're a mother when you spend an entire week wearing sweatpants. You know you're a mother when your idea of a good day is making it through without a child leaking bodily fluid on you. Amen. You know you're a mother when your favorite television show is now a cartoon. You know you're a mother when you're willing to kiss your child's boo-boo no matter where it's at. Right? You know you're a mom when your baby's binky falls on the ground and you suck the dirt right off of it and pop it back in your baby's mouth. You fine. A little dirt don't hurt, right? You know you're a mother when you are so desperate for adult conversation that you'll talk to whoever will listen, including the dog. Come on, somebody. Yes. You know you're a mom when you're up each night until 10 p.m. vacuuming, dusting, doing laundry, refolding laundry, putting laundry away, making sure you've got lunches packed for in the morning, doing kids' homework, and everything in between, and then you go to bed, and then you wake up and find that your house is disaster again. Uh-huh. All the moms said, amen. 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 And you go through the cycle again and again and again. I feel like I'm preaching to myself, right? You know you're a mom when you can never go to the bathroom alone when someone is outside your door screaming, pounding on the door, hands underneath the door, coming in, mom, 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 mom. Your dad's right down, no, but mom, 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 right? And my favorite of all, you know you're a mother when it's Mother's Day and you have to go home and prepare your own meal. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
So me and my mom were talking about this, and we wanted to try to tie it into making sure that everybody could feel something from this message. But then the more we thought about it, the more we thought, moms constantly are pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring out into other people. So we're just going to basically make this message for you, mom. So everybody else, if you're not a mom, I'm sorry. I love you. Stay in tune with us. Hopefully you can get something out of this. But we really want to impart into some of our moms and give them that. Give them back something that they're constantly pouring into us. Amen. 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 So I have my awesome, amazing mother who has raised me all my life, me and my six brothers, who came in from Chicago. And I am who I am because of this woman, because of what she's lived in front of me, what she hasn't, when she hasn't been around, every time I needed an ear or a laughing or a crying or whatever the case may be, whether we've saw eye to eye or we haven't, we've always had a great relationship. And I am extremely grateful that I have a mom. Stop looking at me like that because you make me cry. I have an awesome mom who saw everything and saw what was my God-given potential and saw what I could do and what I could accomplish. And you always pushed me forward. You didn't ever hold me back. You always pushed me to flourish. And I am the parent I am today because of the mom that you were to me. So I appreciate you and I applaud you. And I'm going to stop before I cry. Because we got moms in the room, and you say one thing, and then all of us start, like, tearing up, right? We're like, pass the tissues.
We got tissues, yes.
So today I'm going to kind of just do a little question with my mom, just ask her a couple different questions that I kind of felt like through the years of people listening to my family and hearing about my parents have kind of asked me. So I wanted to kind of pass along these questions and just really try to promote being a mother that we can not intimidate. Wow. Imitate. Yes, being a mother, we can imitate. So, Mama, I'm going to ask you a couple questions. You guys are going to be a part of this, but I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and then we'll just go into the ministry part here in a little bit. So tell me a little bit about you and about your family.
All right. Well, I was the only girl in our family. I have three older brothers. My parents were in their 40s when I was born, so I was a late life baby. And my brothers, basically two of them were gone by the time I was two because they were already married. So that lets you know they were 19, 16, and 11 years older than I am when I was born. Most of my childhood was spent with babysitters. And I know a lot of the single mothers understand this because they have to have somebody to watch their children. So I went to a babysitter from the time I was 6 months old to I started kindergarten. And then I had another babysitter because the lady that took care of me until I was starting school didn't drive and she couldn't get me to school. So then I had to have a different babysitter. So when they got ready to move, I was starting fifth grade. And Lord knows I would never do this now, but at starting fifth grade, I told my mother, no more babysitters. I'm going to take care of myself. And because my parents both worked for the Burlington Northern Railroad, and they were gone from 6 in the morning till 6 at night. So I basically raised myself, taught myself how to cook, how to clean, how to do laundry, and take care of our house because my mom was never there. And then growing up, you know, typical teenager, didn't really go to church very often. When we did, we went to a very dry, dead church, and I never felt any type of connection or love or anything until after I became a teenager and my brother got saved, my oldest brother, and he started taking me to church with him. Up until then, I just sort of did my own thing and got in trouble. I mean, I wasn't really a bad, bad girl, but no. And I put that all under the blood of Jesus, so I don't ever talk about my past. You can ask my girls. They go, Mom, tell us about it. And I said, no.
She was a rebel. Rebel.
Anyway, so I met her father. I'm moving right along. I met her father on January 10th of 1975. We dated for about 3 years. And we got married May 27th of 1978, which we will be celebrating 39 years in just a couple weeks. Yeah. And I, for those of you who've never met me before, I have six children.
Her favorite's in the middle.
Anyway, my oldest son is also a pastor. He pastors Impact Church in Oswego, Illinois. And along with him are his other siblings. Everybody, all my boys are in one church and my girls are in this church. So praise God. Anyway, my second son, Jonathan, is 35. His birthday was May 1st, yes. Then my twins are 22. Devin is in the red. Dylan is in the blue. And then my baby girl, Janae, she is a joy in my life. Yes, you are 19, but you will be 20, so.
And you forgot to mention your favorite in the white jacket.
Jeremy, where you at, son? Jeremy said, Jeremy told me, I'm just saying, no, I'm not done yet. That's Jeremy hilarious. Told me, how come you didn't mention me in the first service? So he says he is my son, but I have to admit, Jeremy, I'm sorry, son, you have to be behind my true son.
So for the church, there's an ongoing joke in my house because me and my husband are so competitive to each other. He swears that he is everyone's favorite in my family. He is this favorite in his family, but in my family. So he's constantly telling my mom and dad, I'm your favorite. So we actually have a recording of my mom and dad telling him that he is the favorite child. I'm like, what is this? Really?
In all fairness, so you all know,
I'm her
I've
favorite.
Known
okay.
Brian, Pastor Brian, longer than any of my children. True. And you're going, what? When he was probably, I think, about 3 or 4 years old, it's okay. She knows. When he was about 3 or 4 years old, we met, and he sort of latched on to my husband and I, and he said, I want to go home with you, and we said, I looked at my husband, I said, is that possible? Can we do that? I don't think so. And I kept telling him, no, you have to go home with your mommy. But little did I know, you were adorable. Well, you still are, son.
You still are adorable.
Yes. But he was so loving and just, he just melted my heart. And little did I know that probably, what, about 20 years later, you came into our life. This was before him and Jillian got together. But he came back into our lives, and it's just been amazing since then. So,
amen. Amen.
Love you, buddy.
But I'm still her favorite. Anyways, moving on. So let me ask you this question.
That's all part of the family, right?
So what have been, Mom, the joys of being a mother of six children?
Wow. Well, we have so many joys, but I think a lot of it would be watching all the first when you have a child, their first steps, their first smiles, their first walking, you know, all those wonderful first, riding a bike. Those are all great joys. But I think for me as a Christian mom, the most rewarding thing was seeing my children when they're raising their hands and praising God. Seeing them slain in the spirit, speaking in tongues, watching them pray over other people, and just, I mean, not just praying, I mean praying over people. And I think those would be probably the most wonderful joys that I could think of.
So what would you say then as a parent of six would be struggles then? What have been some of the struggles that you've endured?
We've had a lot of struggles once in a while, especially if they'd all get sick at the same time. You know, and I've heard people say, oh, it must be great to have twins. And I say, you have no clue what you're talking about. They're thinking, oh, yeah, have two at once and get it all done. No, that was probably the hardest thing for me and the hardest struggle for me, knowing that I had three children already at home who were now almost, well, teenagers. You were 11 years old, so you were real close to, and I had prayed because being a young person in a household where you have nobody around, I didn't have my brothers because, like I said, two of them were married 2 years after I was born, and then my youngest brother, who is also 11 years older than I am, went into the military, and so I was basically grew up by myself. And I struggled with that, and I told God, because my parents were late, older. They were in their 40s when I was born. And I said, God, I don't want children after 35. I don't want to be this old-looking mom, and that's why I refuse to go get old, right? I refuse. I have a 20-year-old, and I don't want to be old for her. I want her to be, you know, because my mom looked old when she was in her 40s. I tell you, I think my mother looked younger at 70 than she did when she was in her 40s, you know, because I started taking care of her, right? So anyway, to go on, where was I?
Struggles,
so yes.
We had the struggles.
So struggling, I did not want children after 35. And when I was 38, I found out I was pregnant. And I was not a happy camper at all. I was not happy, and we told the kids, we sat them down one day, and we said we wanted to let you know that we were going to add a new member to the family. A puppy! Yay! A puppy! And we said, no, it's going to be a baby. And they looked at me and they said,
we're like, what? I was like, I am the baby.
Yeah.
I don't need any more babies.
And anyway, so I didn't know, because after Jillian was born, I had had a precancerous surgery, and the doctors told me then that I could never conceive, I could never have children anymore. And I've always been a firm believer that if God wanted me to have more children, that I would have more children, you know? And I tell a lot of people, I open mouth, insert foot, you know. I said, God, Mommy, you want me to have more kids? Okay. Well, he wanted me to have more children. And so I found out I was pregnant, and I went and had an ultrasound and found out I was pregnant with twins. And I I lost it. I cried and cried and cried and cried. I was so upset. Not only was I having one baby, but now at 38, I'm having two. And I kind of went into a depression then. I didn't want to, I'm not a type of person that doesn't like to be around people, and I didn't want to be around anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody. My closest friends, who were all pastors' wives, I didn't even want to talk to them. My children knew if they wanted to get me to answer the phone or talk to me or anything when they were gone, they had to do the code, which was call, hang up, and call again. Otherwise, I would not answer the phone. People came to the door. I wouldn't answer the door. I was just so, so depressed. And I felt so far away from God, but yet I prayed harder probably during that pregnancy than I ever did, because I felt so alone. And I questioned God, why did you do this? Why did you give me not only one child but two children after the age of 35? Because I didn't want children after that. I was very content with my two boys and my girl. And it wasn't until probably 14 years later that the light bulb came on and said, oh, okay, God, now I understand why you did that. But I wouldn't trade my last three for anything, because Devin, Dylan, and Janae have been just an awesome, awesome blessing in mine and their father's life. Not to mention my older three.
Yes, we'll mention them. So let me ask you this, because there are moms in here that struggle constantly. You know me, my sister, and she's back in town, so we're going to go back and forth on this guy. Sorry. So, but because there are moms in here who may struggle or may have gone through depression or may feel like, yeah, I feel alone, or we've got some single mamas that may feel alone or may feel like just the pressure of life in general, because when you're a mom, you're constantly giving
all the time.
What advice would you give a mom that may feel like she's struggling now, like you have? What advice would you give there?
Don't give up. Don't give up. Yeah. Joy comes in the morning. Amen. Joy is around the corner. You can never be alone when you have God in your life.
Use that tissue, Mom.
No, I'm going to say that.
Okay. This is what happens when you get with
Devin. It's a running joke. when you feel like you're at your lowest, and you're crying out to God, and you're saying, God, I need your help. You have help. It's right here in this ministry. Look around. You've got some awesome men and women of God in this building. I am so blessed every time I come here, because I know that I'm going to be not only greeted by people who love God and love me, even though they don't really know me that well, but you have great support here, especially for you single parents. You have great support in this ministry. They love you unconditionally. You know, you have to, and if you feel like you're alone, you can come to any one of these mothers or fathers, and they're going to help you. But make sure that you go to somebody who's going to help you, not somebody who's going to commiserate with you or say, woe is you, and it'll be all right. No, you need godly support. You need godly direction, and you'll get it here. Amen. You're not alone. You may not have a husband that's there for you, but you have a church family who's there for you. Amen?
And most importantly, God's there for you and sees you right where you're at all times. And
Amen.
Just know that whatever you're facing, I'm pretty sure somebody else has faced that and has walked through it. So we are better when we're together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's backtrack a little bit, Mom. So you mentioned about grandma. So my mother was not raised in a home, a godly home, like I was. She was raised by herself, basically, because you said your brothers are so much older. Grandma and grandpa worked all the time, so she was not able to have them so much in her life. So let me ask you this. How did you decide then, because you weren't raised in church, you and dad both kind of did whatever you wanted to there for a while. how did you break the pattern and decide with us things were going to be different as a parent?
We saw as young people how we were raised, being alone, not having guidance or direction. My husband comes from a wonderful family. He has great parents who love the Lord. They were ministers. They love God. They love people. They love their church. But the problem was they neglected their children. And my parents worked all the time. They were gone from 6 in the morning till 6 at night. So I didn't have them around when I needed them. I didn't have them to go to functions at school with me or to take me to church or anything, you know. So when we found out we were pregnant with Jamin, your dad and I sat down and said, okay, we're going to do things different.
Yeah. Good.
We're going to change that cycle. We're going to be there for our children no matter what. We loved God. We loved our church, but we loved our family.
Amen.
And to the point where we would be in church all the time. All the time. When you were younger, we were in church 24/7, 5-6 days a week. But we always made sure we found quality family time. You have to have family time with your children. They have to know that you care about everything that happens in their life and that you are there for them, to read with them, to pray with them, to seek God with them. And teach them and train them. Mm-hmm. Be a total example.
Yeah.
What you do and what you say are two different things. If you don't live that life before them and show them that example, mm-hmm. they will follow your actions faster than they'll follow your words. You have to really live that example and be that example to them.
That's so good, Mom. So let me encourage you then with something. Then maybe you didn't have the best upbringing, or maybe your mom wasn't in your life, or whatever the case may be. But just like you said, you can break that pattern.
Yes, you can.
Right? The cycle can end with you.
Absolutely.
I've seen so many people that have had it one way and have only known it one way and decided, you know what? I'm going to take a stand for Jesus and I'm going to turn the situation around. My kids will not experience the same things I had to experience.
Right.
They're not going to live in yesterday. I'm not going to do those same things. I'm going to break this. The cycle ends with me, because we know whom the Son set free is free indeed.
Amen.
Amen. So be determined today, Mama. Be determined today, Father, to break the patterns.
Break.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So, Mom, let me ask you this then, because we're talking about breaking some patterns. What is maybe one thing that you would have done differently as a mom?
For me, I think it would be more to spend more one-on-one time individually with each child. Because there were six kids in the family, I didn't always have that time, especially with the youngest three, because I was always so busy doing something for one of the children that I really didn't find a lot of quality time, the one-on-one experience of just spending the time with them. And that's what I would do different, is spend more quality time one-on-one.
Yeah. And as a mother of one, sometimes I take that for granted, because I have one child that I can invest into, and we could be in the same room and I'm playing on my phone and she's on her iPad, or we're in two separate rooms. And so it is a good eye opener to think, hey, they're not this little forever.
That's,
I mean,
right. They grow
at
up.
All. Mm-hmm. You blink and it's, and my mom used to tell me that, and I'm like, yeah, but when Olivia was waking me up in the middle of the night, I'm like, Lord, I'm ready for her to be four, or I'm ready for her to be five, you know. And now that she's seven, I'm like, oh my God, she's going to be out of the house in a couple years, you know. And you start, you know,
yes,
as
do.
A mom, you start thinking about these things like, wow, the time is really, really passing, and it's going to be here before I know it. So maybe what you're saying then is be present and be in the moment.
Yes.
You know, when you're with your kids, if you don't have a whole lot of time because you are working, and that's understandable. Absolutely. You need to provide. But maybe in those 15 minutes that you do have, be present, be there, be in the moment with them, because they need you.
Mm-hmm.
They need you. They need your love. They need
right.
your smile. They need your arms. They need your talk, your words. And that's really what's going to matter. I know something that I would do differently as a mom, and I've only been a mom for 7 years. So kudos to you who have been mothers way longer and have walked through the teenage years. I haven't quite got there yet, so I ain't saying nothing yet. I don't know anything yet. But I do want to say, for those of you that have sat through our family series, when Pastor and I do those, sometimes we talk about, you know, different stuff with parenting. But I know one thing that I would like to do differently, and I still strive to do differently, is sometimes I have a tone and pitch with my child that I can come off kind of harsh with her. And don't say anything, honey. But I know sometimes, because I expect from her, sometimes I expect her to be an adult, because I feel like she should just know. And I forget sometimes that she's still young. And so I get kind of sharp. And just even 2 weeks ago, she was playing with something and she dropped it on the floor and it scuffed the floor. And I got real sharp with her and came down on her. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And it was my tone, it was my pitch, it was my actions, how I said it. It was really, really gruff. And I could see her face go from, yay, we're leaving to go to church, to, oh my God, you're going to kill me. And had this look on her face. And I could just see, like, just in what I was saying, my words to her, it was just bringing really devastation over her. And At that moment, I didn't say sorry right then, because I was still, you know, heated and frustrated. We got in the car, and of course, I was on my way here to lead praise and worship.
Always on Sunday.
And I was like, I need to get it together, Gallardo. Like, what are you doing? Why are you talking to her like that? You wouldn't talk to other people like that. So why are you doing that to your kid, who you love more than anything? You know, because sometimes we beat up the ones we love the most, right?
Yes. Yep.
So we get in the car, and I turned around and I parked the car, and I had to tell Olivia, I am so sorry. My tone, my pitch, what I said to you was completely wrong. Because sometimes as parents, we say stupid things, right? Yes. We don't always do it right. And so I think it's really important to make sure in those moments that we learn to say sorry quickly. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I was wrong. And I can remember from my mom and dad, when they did something wrong in our eyes, whether we were oblivious to it or not, they were always so quick to say, hey, we're sorry, we were wrong, it wasn't right. So maybe that's something that I know for me that I would do differently, is make sure that I'm watching my tone and pitch and being quick to say sorry. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, Mom, let me ask you this. What is the hardest thing about being a mom?
For me, it's letting go. I'm not going to cry this time. Letting go, not to the point where you say goodbye, I don't ever want to see you again, but letting go, because as a mother, you carry a child for 9 months, or in my case, longer, because I think all of you were late, but you carry them for 9 months, you feel them growing in you, you feel them moving, you see them when they first are born, and you fall madly head over heels in love. And the funniest thing I can remember, when your oldest brother was born, my husband had never seen a child right after it was born, and he looked down at him, and I'm laying there going, honey, we have a son. And my oldest son, you'd never know it now, but he was huge when he was born. He was 10 and a half pounds, 22 and a half inches long, so he looked like this when they laid him on my lap. And my husband saw him for the first time, and he reached down and got in my ear, and he goes, honey, he's ugly. And I immediately teared up. I said, I promise he'll look better after he gets a bath, you know? you'll probably kill me for telling that, but of course, after that, after they washed him and that, Jeff couldn't let him go, you know, I mean, he constantly went, but anyway, letting go of your child, you've raised them for 18 years, you have took care of all their boo-boos, you've been there for them, you've laughed with them, you've cried with them, you've helped them, you've poured your heart into them, and then they grow up and they leave the house, you know, and they leave your little area where you know you can protect them. They're no longer under your wing. And for me, that was super hard. Not so much for my boys to leave, because they're boys, but my girls. And my girls didn't just leave my home, they left my state, you know. It's your fault. But that was the hardest part, because as a mom, you don't ever really let go. I gave my daughter to my son. I gave my other daughter to my daughter, and to take care of. And so it was probably a little bit easier for me to let go of Janae, because I knew she
had.
Because
I'm her favorite. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Because I knew she had Joanne and Brian to take care of her. But you never stop being a mom, no matter how old they get. You still worry, do they have everything they need? Are they hurting? Do they have any problems? Is their car working okay? That's one of the biggest things with Janae. So if there's a good mechanic in here, would you check that car out for me, please?
So then what would you say would be some of the best things about being a mom?
Oh, gosh.
Of six. Obviously me, but...
The best thing would be to seeing you excel in the things of the Lord. Seeing other worldly things to me was a great joy, but watching my children excel in what I taught them in the ministry, in the things of the Lord, watching them go out and find mates that had that same vision that they had, and the same drive and the same willpower that they had to see lives changed for Christ, to see souls won for the kingdom of God. And that would be probably one of the best things that I have, is knowing that I have not only six children in the ministry, but they have spouses who love God just as much and are working in the ministry with them. I am truly a blessed mother.
Amen.
To be able to say I have... my children didn't go after the things of the world, but they went after the things of God. And that's an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing.
So let me ask you this, because I've heard this plenty of times from people asking, how did your mom raise six children to love God, but not only love God, but to live for God? So how what advice would you give somebody that's saying, hey, I want to raise my kids godly, or maybe... It's not too late to still raise them. What can they
Absolutely.
Do? What would you advise for that?
Be an example. If you want your kid to be in church, you better get there too. Amen. If you want to see them grow in the things of the Lord, you better teach them.
Good.
Don't just drop them off at the door, but
so
come in with them. And be that example, because that's what they need. They're going to watch you more than they're going to listen to what you say to them. Amen? And if you don't live that life before them, they're going to go, well, hey, I can do what you do, because you just come to church and then you go home and you talk about the preacher, or you do this and you... No, 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 no. That is not the example you want to teach your kids. You want to say, we have the best pastors in the world. We know that because they love us unconditionally. And I say that because you are truly blessed to have such great pastors. You are truly blessed because they don't just love you, but they love you with a godly love that only comes from Christ. And it's not because they just asked for it. It's because they live that life. They are the same here as they are at home. Trust me, if you see them at home, you know that they have a godly home. You know, there's programs out there. You need to turn your TV off. You need to turn your TV off and get rid of all the crud that's in your house. There are some programs on there. I've flipped the channels on TV. I'm going, what is this all about? No. You know, we didn't allow our kids to watch certain programs. And there's nothing wrong with saying, no, you're not watching that. You know, if you want to be an example, you have to be the example. So if there's things on the TV and I don't like it, I'm leaving the room. I ain't going to watch that. There's a lot of junk out there. I didn't say
your
no
mom.
Bad word.
Your mom.
There's a lot of junk out there. And you know what? If you got all this time, then turn the TV off and play a game with your kids. Turn the TV off and pull that Bible out and say, hey, let's have some fun. And they're looking at you, how are we going to have fun doing it? My kids learned over 500 scriptures or more when they were little. And the reason being is because we took the Bible, we got scriptures out of the Bible, and we made it a fun game. We got these little guys that were, I think, Knights of the Round Table, you know, all the knights, they love them. And we played dart wars with scriptures. Or we played shooting ball games, basketball with, you know, with scripture. And you always got points. And if you got the most points, you got, I don't know, a dollar or something. I don't remember.
That was always Jamin. I never won. Ever.
But you could quote scripture.
I could.
Yes. And, you know, we did a lot of evangelizing when our children were small, the first three. And so they were always on the platform. And my children always sat in the front row. My children were not in the back row because I was not in the back row. I was always on the front row. So my children had to be on the front row. And they knew how to act in church because if they didn't, their daddy had a scripture for them.
Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from you.
God, I know that verse. God made their little tushies for that reason. And if you don't spank your kids, well, don't judge me because my kids, when they were little, got spanked.
Yes, we did. And, Nay, put your hand down. No, you didn't.
And they all had Proverbs 22:15 on their little bottoms because we had a paddle probably about this big. And they're all going, what? Yeah,
my dad would be preaching. My dad would be preaching a completely different message. Had nothing to do with Proverbs 22:15. But if one of us were acting up or cutting up or passing notes or chewing gum or sleeping, he would say Proverbs 22:15, and we'd all be like, who was it? We'd all look at three of them. Which one was it? And it was always us older three.
Anticipation of that spanking they knew was coming when they got home. But that's another thing. When you do correct your kids, make sure you do it in the right way. If you're angry at them, walk out of the room, go in the other room, pray through, and then come back, and then teach your kids something. Good. When my kids were little, I always used to, I would say to them, okay, why are you going to get a spanking?
Yep. Because I was bad.
I said, what did you do? I make them tell me. I want to make sure they know why they're getting a spanking. And they would tell me, and I'd say, okay. And then just three little swats, you know, on the behind. Don't slug your kids. Don't slap your kids. That's abusive. Yeah. You know, God made that little cushion on the behind there for a reason. And you can just give that a nice little swat. And now if you do timeouts, hey, I don't prejudge. You can do timeouts if you want. I don't think I did a whole lot of timeouts until they got a little older, because by the time they were 7 or 8 years old, they didn't get spankings anymore because they knew that paddle hurt.
And when we got older, the younger three came around, and I don't think they knew the paddle half as much as those older three did, but
that's
you're
what
welcome.
They all say.
So let me kind
older
of,
and wiser.
Let me kind of wrap this up then, Mom, real quick, because I know we have some moms in here who I've chatted with about just trying to learn how to balance life, because you know, as a mother of six, what it is to balance with so many hats that ladies wear, with being a mom, with being a working mom, or a single parent where you have to do both, or being even a stay-at-home mom, all of the responsibilities that come with that, and then you're also wife, and then you're also whatever else you need to be, and still part of ministry, and still this and that. So what advice would you give to say, hey, this is how you can help balance your life?
Get on your knees and pray. Mm-hmm. The first thing. Start your day that way. Start your day with prayer, because when you have prayer at the very beginning of your day is going to go so much better. And it's not easy. Being a mother of six, I was a pastor's wife, I was a mother, I was the administrator, I was the secretary, I was the overall gopher. Yeah, you wear so many hats, and to try to balance all that, if you don't have Christ first, your day is going to be, you know, and so when you start your day out in prayer and you encourage your family, you just got to get out there and believe in yourself. You are strong women. You, God gave, he made woman because he knew men could not do what we do. They couldn't carry a child for 9 months. They definitely couldn't birth a child. And Lord knows that the things that us as mothers have had to deal with our children, as far as when they're babies, all the changing and the spit, and you know, you, there's another thing. You know you're a mother when you can wear an outfit and you got stuff on and you just go, oh, well, so I've got six kids, you know, what's it? But anyway, you just balancing out with Christ is the best thing that you can do. Start your day out that way. Pray first. Pray over your children. Anoint, seek God, read, pray together. You've got a great support system when you have, especially if you're a single mom and you have children, your support system is right there. Even though you don't realize it, your children are watching your example. So if you're praying with them and you're reading to them and you're speaking life over them and speaking encouragement and the things of God over them, watch, it's going to come around. They're going to start going, oh, Mom, are you having a bad day? Well, let me pray with you. Yeah. You know, when I was pregnant with the twins, the older three siblings, Jillian, they would always pray for me because they knew I was not only emotionally sick, but I was physically, I had pneumonia and the whole nine yards. I was just really down. And I would hear them praying together and praying for me. And I thought, how could I not get up and move around? Because I'm going, I have to show them, hey, I believe in your prayers. I believe when you pray for me. I was sitting here before second service started, and I told Brian, I grabbed him, I said, son, pray for me. I felt this sharp pain in my back and my neck. My head started to pound, and on all the loud noise was just, it was hurting my head. And so he reached down and prayed with me. And when I came up here, he said, are you okay? I said, I'm fine. I believe in the power of prayer. Yes. If you have to believe in the power of prayer. God is there if you just call out his name and just ask him. That's how you balance your life. You have to have God in your life.
So good. It's so important to speak the word. And if you don't know what word to speak, you got to get in it to look, even if it's just for 5 minutes, even if it's just a verse for the day, something that says, God, your grace is sufficient for me. In my weaknesses, you are made strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can cast all my cares on you because you care for me. Find out what the word says, because it's going to give you so much strength to get through another day, especially when you're feeling like overwhelmed, because every motherhood is messy, right? Motherhood is overwhelming. Motherhood is also rewarding,
absolutely,
but it's also stressful. It's also really overwhelming and can be aggravating sometimes. But in those moments, it's so important to speak the word. God, I know that you can help me today.
Amen.
Because I know what your word says, that I am an overcomer. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what the word says, look up some encouraging scriptures.
Right.
Ask somebody. Oh, the only questions that are dumb questions are questions that aren't asked. So ask
Absolutely.
Somebody, because in order to declare the word, you've got to know the word. So it's so important, you as moms, because you give out all the time, it's important to receive back in, right? And sometimes the only time we receive is when we're praying, Jesus, I need help today.
Right.
Help me to not strangle my kid today, Lord. Mm-hmm. Help me to be a good wife to my husband. Help me to make good decisions today. Help me to live out what I'm trying to teach my kids
right.
today,
right?
Amen. Amen. So I also just want to just encourage you just for a moment, because I know it's not always a good day on Mother's Day, just like sometimes Father's Day is not a good day for everybody. I know there's mothers in here who have miscarried. I also know there's mothers in here who have tried and tried and tried to have kids and haven't been able to do that. Or, you know, you are a mom and your child has passed away, or you're a son or daughter and you don't have a good relationship with your mom. And I just wanted to remind you today, or you may have had abortion and are living in the yesterdays of what ifs or what should have been or what could have been. And I just want to remind you today that God's mercies are new every morning. He
Amen.
Sees you right where you're at.
Amen.
You are valuable. If nobody has told you that, if your mom never told you that, you're valuable.
Yes,
you matter.
Are.
And God is the God that mends broken hearts. He's the one that steps in when nobody else can and says, hey, I got you. That mistake from yesterday, there's nothing we can do about that. Or in the passing of your child or in the passing of your mom. He is always there. God is always present. So be encouraged today. Know that God is fighting for you, that he loves you. He sees you. You are valuable today. And I just want to leave you with one scripture here real quick on Proverbs 31, verse 25. It says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. That means she is clothed with being strong and prevailing. You are stronger than you know.
Right.
You woke up this morning. Amen. You decided to help get your kids ready. You decided to get to the house of God. You are going to leave here today. You're going to walk out. And even in the struggles when we feel like, God, I can't handle one more thing, we're still stronger than we know, right? Amen. We still can do it. Because the next part of that is with dignity. That means we're also prevailing. We are going to prevail through. We're going to make it through. In the times when we feel like we're drowning in whatever it is in life, with everything that we have going on, we will prevail through. Amen. So look at your neighbor and tell them, you're going to prevail through.
You're going to prevail through.
And this last part I love in verse 30, it says, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be greatly praised. A woman who puts her trust in God first. Amen. That's what it ultimately comes down to, is somebody who puts their trust in the Lord first. Amen. We don't have it all figured out.
No,
we still don't have it all figured out.
We don't.
And my mom is one of the most amazing women that I know, and she doesn't even still have it all figured out.
No, we don't.
But we can walk this thing out together by walking out in the fear of the Lord, by trusting in God, by putting our faith in him, by saying, God, you know, Mother's Day is not always the best for me, but I trust you. Tomorrow's a new day. It's going to be a I choose today is going to be a good day. Amen. And it's all on how you look and your perception of it and deciding I'm going to move forward. Can't do anything about yesterday. All I can do is move forward. Amen. I want to have you guys stand to your feet. If I can get the mothers to come actually down to the altar, because we have a little bit of time just for a moment. I want my mom to actually pray over you. So if you're a mom in this place, we want you to come on down because we want to pray over you this morning. Just come on down here, ladies. We're going to pray that the joy of the Lord be your strength. First of all, I am so extremely blessed by women who decide to go after Jesus with all their heart. It is not easy. It's not easy being a mom. It's not easy going through the things that you go through, the struggles of constantly giving and never feeling like it's coming back or pouring back into you. But be encouraged today. Amen. So grab somebody's hand next to you. Mom's going to pray down there over you. Pastor, go ahead.
Yeah, just want to, I was just sitting there thinking about Mother's Day, because I know for me on Father's Day is used to not be a good day for me. So I was thinking about things that we face, and some of you young ladies here have been abandoned by your moms. Some of you, of moms who's here, you wish you could be a mom, but you've miscarried time and time again. Moms who feel like you've failed, like you've sat here and heard my mother-in-law talk about the successes of her children, and your children are wayward. There's children here who's been abused by their moms. There's children here there's moms here whose kids have abandoned you, and your soul's craving and hurting just to be with them. Can I tell you today that there is healing power in Jesus for wounded souls and wounded hearts? So I just want to pray as the spiritual leader of this church, and my wife's going to join me. No, it's okay. My wife is going to join me. I just want to agree together that lives this morning are ministered to, and that hope returns to our moms and those who want to be moms. Amen. Father, we just come before you right now in Jesus' name. We lift these amazing women, God, that you've given LifeGate Church up to you today. God, I pray for every broken heart, every wounded soul. God, I pray for every mom that's here today who's even moms that have aborted their babies, Lord. God, I pray that you would heal that hurt today. God, I pray that you would silence the voice of the accuser in their mind in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would heal their hurt, God, heal their pain, that they would have full assurance when they leave here that they will one day see that child again, Lord. God, we pray for every woman who has miscarried this morning. God, I pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would heal their broken heart, would heal their wounded soul, Father, that you would do in them what only you can. I pray for every mom whose son or daughter is wayward and away from you and their soul is broken and hurting. God, I pray for healing to be released into their life supernaturally today, God. In the name of Jesus, for every woman that wants to have a child but can't, Lord, we pray that you would supernaturally do in their life what you did in my mother-in-law's life, God, that you would open up their womb like you did for Sarah, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would allow faith to arise within their heart, that their hope would not be deferred any longer. God, we pray for every child that's been abused by their mom, been abandoned by their mom, been left by their mom, God. I pray, Lord, you would release healing to them, God. In Jesus' name, for every single mom that is struggling and doesn't know how they're going to make ends meet and are looking to the left and the right, God, and wondering where you are, God, I pray supernaturally you would walk into the midst of their lack and their hurt and their pain and respond to them, Father, we pray. In the name of Jesus, for every mom that's lost a child, that God, that has buried a son or a daughter too early, we pray for healing to come to them today, Jesus. The name of Jesus, we pray that you would remove shame from moms today, God. Remove shame from moms today, Father. Remove that shame, God, for every mistake that they've made, God. We are not a perfect people. And Lord, I pray that you would remove shame from moms today, God. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name.
God, give them supernatural strength today.
Yes, God.
God, encourage your mamas today, Jesus. When that pressure and the overwhelming feelings may come, yes, God, encourage your child today. Jesus. Encourage your women today, God. Encourage your girls today, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Strengthen them, God, in their minds and in their spirits. Remind them who you've called them to be. Yes, woman of destiny, yes, woman of faith, woman of power, Lord. God. Increase in their life, Jesus. Let them remind them who you've called them to be, God, that they don't have to be lost in just in their kids or in everything else that they have going on, but God, that you have a calling and a purpose on their life, God. Yes, and I just pray, God, that you would remind them of that, God.
Father, do it, Jesus.
Increase in these ladies, God.
Do
pour
it,
back into them everything that they constantly pour out into others today, God.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus, thank you for their lives, God. Thank you for mothers. Thank you for blessing us with them, God, today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.